that is higher than you are listening to Purpose for Godliness. And I am your host, Minister Daphne Smith. And I am so glad that you are just spending your Friday morning with me, joining me today on Purpose for Godliness every weekend. I'm excited about every weekend. I get to share the love of God with you and also share biblical insight to issues, address your need, and plant the seed of godly purpose. You can find me on social media, and you can leave me your comments, your questions, your prayer requests, your suggestions that you believe will help this ministry to grow. I am on Facebook. Purpose for Godliness on Facebook. Amen. So check me out on social media. Most of the time it's Facebook. I do have Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Twitter. I think that's it. But most of the time I'm on Facebook, so check me out on Facebook. Again, thank you so much for joining me, Minister Daphne Smith, Purpose for Godliness, every weekend at 8 a.m. The website, this website for Purpose for Godliness is blogtalkradio.com/Daphne Smith. Call-in number for the show, 347-989-0144. You can call in, get in the chat room, listen, let me know what you think about the conversations we've been having, the ministry, the guests. Just let me know what you think about the show. And please, please, please don't forget to tell someone about the show. Help me get the word out. Tell someone that we are live here, Purpose for Godliness on Blog Talk Radio. So I'm excited about the show. I am blessed every week to share the word of God with you. And we're going to share something today because it's the month of May. So I've been sharing some encouragement, hopefully, for mothers. And also it's Mental Health Awareness Month, and trying to just share with you, you know, what we need to do to keep our minds regulated. They used to tell us he's a heart fixer and a mind regulator. So we need to do some things to keep our mind regulated. So just sharing some things with you today. So I'm going to share something with you that I shared, I think, a couple of years ago. 9 secrets your pastor's wife wishes you knew. With some scripture and some comments. So listen, call in, join the conversation, 347-989-0144. Let's talk on purpose. That's my tagline. Let's talk on purpose today and see what the Bible has to say about this particular issue. The Lord always desires to help us. Can you all just mark down your calendar? I try to look for announcements and all of that all at the same time. But listen, just a couple of announcements I want to make. Mark it down. A red marker, you know, put a star by it or something. Okay, I have 3 dates for you. June 4th, Sundays, June 4th and June 11th, Lifeline Missions is celebrating the grand opening of our church, Lifeline Missions Unlimited Incorporated Worship Center. Address is 38138 6th Street East in the city of Palmdale, California. We are going to the next level, and we are thrilled about God's grace. Amen, and what he is doing in our lives. So bring your family, bring your friends, and we're going to celebrate all that God has done for us and what he's going to do. We're also going to celebrate our pastor's birthday. On Sunday, June 4th, is our celebratory message will be by Pastor Anthony Richardson, and in his presence, Worship Center will be there. Sunday, June 11th, in the morning, is Pastor Rod Sutton. So listen, come on out, help us celebrate, bring a gift for our pastor. because we have an awesome pastor, and just help us celebrate what God has done for us. 38138 6th Street East in the city of Palmdale, California. Also, come on now, August 17th through the 19th, 2017, the 22nd Annual Virtuous Women, Mighty Men of Valor, Unity Conference, Next Level, August 17th through the 19th, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. nightly. We have special guests that are coming, and our conference hotel, our home away from home, is the Hilton Garden Inn in Palmdale, California, 1309 West Rancho Vista Boulevard. Registration is $60, $40 for the conference, $20 for the prayer breakfast. All the information is on our Facebook event page, so you don't want to miss that. Come on out and be with us. I guarantee you there will be something there that will help you, lift you, encourage you, a word that will be said that will take you to the next level in God. Amen. Amen. All right, so let's do another song. As I said, you can call in 347-989-0144, and we're going to do another song, and then I'll be right back to share with you. All right? Everything that we need is in Jesus, everything that we need is in him. All right? So just want to share some things with you this morning. Get your Bible as the song plays in the background. Get your Bible. We're going to go to Psalm 61, and I'm going to read it out of Amplified Bible, just a couple of verses, Psalm 61, and then I'm going to share with you this a little bit out of this article. I love this because it says, confidence in God's protection. To the chief musician on stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Psalm 61 says, hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. Verse 2 says, from the end of the earth will I cry. From the end of the earth I will call to you when my heart is overwhelmed and weak. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, a rock that is too high to reach without your help. A place that we need to go, but we cannot get there without God's help. And we were, I preached this on Sunday, and the definition of being overwhelmed is to be submerged, to be engulfed, to be affected deeply in the mind and in our emotions, to present something. I'm just going to give the definition. To present with an excessive amount. That's Webster. It's atoph. In the Old Testament, it means to cover with darkness, to languish, to swoon, to envelop oneself, envelopment in darkness, and it's used several times in the Psalms and in Job. When it talks about the heart, it's the feelings, the will, the intellect, the center of anything, the inner self, the inner will. So when David says, when my heart, when my center, when my will, when everything in me is covered in darkness, when I'm weak, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, a rock that is too high to reach, without your help. So just kind of tying all this in together, I want you as pastors' wives, as women of God, women in leadership, sometimes we get overwhelmed. And it's not just for us as women, the brothers too. You know, we get overwhelmed. And so, but this particular article talks about 9 secrets your pastor's wife won't say out loud. So, hey, you know, just kind of getting into those things, secrets of those that are in ministry, even for PKs. I'm not a PK, but I'm real close. I really do, just by proxy. Just by proxy, I'm real close. I grew up in a home. My dad was chairman of the deacon board at Greater Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church, 2400 West Warren Boulevard in the city of Chicago. And if you know anything about that particular denomination, to be head of the deacon board, you are the head person in charge. You're it. So my house was as close to me and my sisters, we were as close to being PKs as my own kids, who are PKs. So let me just kind of read this and share this with you. And as I said, if you have a comment, 347-989-0144, we'd love to hear from you. And you can also get in the chat room, blogtalkradio.com/Daphne Smith. So here, introduction. Pastor's wives, we're the ones that are always there for the most part. Sometimes in the background, sometimes with a welcoming smile. You know, sometimes we smile to cover up what's going on. Sometimes noticed and appreciated, sometimes silenced, being silently judged. Silently judged. I'm just going to try to get through this. So your pastor's wife, the powerful force behind most church leaders, are often perceived as a mystery by the rest of the church. It doesn't have to be that way. And I want to say this because, I'm learning. When I first got into ministry, just to share some things, I thought it was, you know, you want to be friendly and you want to fellowship and all of these things. And all of that is good to do. It's wonderful because I love eating. You know, I love going out to eat. I love fellowship. And then I learned, you know, some things I cannot do and cannot allow to be in my circle. And so as you get older, you learn how to handle some things. Because here's the thing, when it comes time to correct and rebuke and reprove and discipline and train and all of those things, you know, if you're a little bit too common, they don't want to listen. They really don't. And then you have to come out of a bag that you probably would not have had to come out of. Y'all just help me with this. If we, you know, take a step back from some things. Amen. So what if we, I don't know, you know, maybe if you, some of us, if you asked your pastor's wife what she honestly thought, would she share some of her secrets with you? This is taken from the article. And what if we really could invite the pastor's wives to share? That's why it's so important that we have someone that we can talk to. What if we invited the pastor's wife to share their hearts? What would we really find out? So here was the question. If you could tell the church a few things about your role as a pastor's wife, what would you say? Ah. And if you could say it and they loved you tomorrow, what would you say? So we as pastors' wives, we are ministers of music, Sunday school teachers, church leaders. Some are pastors, youth pastors. Some of them serve in churches that some of them serve in mega churches with mega budgets. Some serve in new church plants. I've been there, done that. And some serve in smaller churches, and some barely surviving congregations. But despite the differences or the different backgrounds that we have, we still share some of the same secrets. So it's an article that's already out. It may not apply. All of it may not apply to you, but just want to just share this with you. This was on my heart this morning. And the scripture of Psalm 61 says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The rock that I cannot get to, that is too high to reach without your help. All right? So the first thing, what would you like people to know? Or maybe not. Or just a friend. If you were sitting down with a friend, face to face with me, Minister Daphne Smith, what would you like me to know? Number one is, I wish people knew that we struggle to have family time. That family time is important. And one of the things that it took me a minute, but you learn how to set priorities. And I know the church has emergencies. However, you really do need to set priorities, because the scripture says, when my heart is overwhelmed. One of the things that I talked about Sunday is we don't know how to say no, some of us. And when you learn how to say no, it puts everything in the right perspective. There are some things we need to say yes to. There are some things we need to say no to. And I am learning how to say no. I don't answer foolish and unlearned questions, just sharing some things with you. I don't answer random texts from people. You know, people get angry with you at church and think they could just text you all kind of foolishness. I don't answer that anymore. And since I have stopped doing that, there is less drama in my own personal life. So it is important that we reiterate, you know, the importance of family. Even if they look funny at you when you say it, but you need to do that, especially when you have small children. It is important, and they're in school. It is important. I know. I drug my kids to church every time the church doors were open. Some of that was good, and sometimes they needed to be at home, do homework, and do the things that they needed to do as children. So you need to really reiterate that. Even for vacations, I'm trying to do this short, even with vacations, you need to take vacations. You need to spend time with your family, spend time with your wife, take vacations. And unless it's an emergency, don't answer your phone. All right. I want to share a little something, but I think I keep it to myself. Don't answer your phone. Don't take nothing with you. Just go and have a vacation. Church business can wait till you get home. It'll still be there. The bank will be there. The money will be there. Everything will be there. Just do what you have to do. All right. So we rarely get a day off because pastors, even if you're a woman pastor, pastors are called on emergency. But number one is that your family is important. Number two, almost every day I'm afraid of messing up or screwing it all up. I put a little part down there. I pray that I don't mess it up. Ah, come on now. Because we battle issues. You know, we battle the same issues everybody else is battling in the church. I remember one time I went home for my parents' anniversary. I'm not sure which one it is. I think it was maybe their 50th. I'm not sure. And I went home and all excited about being a pastor's wife and was talking to one of their friends. And I don't know how the conversation went, but it had to do with, you know, issues. I didn't say anything specific, but, you know, just dealing with my own issues. And the person flippantly said, I thought that I should have been over mine if I'm going to minister to God's people. I have never forgotten that statement. And even statements I've heard recently about, you know, God can't use broken people. How can God use broken people? Well, if that's the case, he's not using any of us. Can I just say that? He don't need to use none of us because we're all broken. All right. I can't preach. I just want to share this. We're all broken. So pastors, people, and leadership, pastors' wives, specifically talking to you today, we battle the same issues, same hormonal issues as every woman. Marriage, extended family issues, in-laws, sicknesses, finances, enemy attacking our family, children who make poor decisions, of which I was one. And listen, we also have our own fear and insecurities, and that's the thing that we really battle, I think, is our fear and our insecurity in ministry. A couple of weeks ago, and even now I got to deal with some things, you know, personally, but a couple of weeks ago, just dealing with some fear in my own life, and even concerning ministry. And in some areas right now, in ministry, things are new for me. Really, goodness, I've never experienced this. And here's the thing, help me, Holy Ghost. When you don't always get positive comments from members, and you get negative comments, and you don't always get positive comments, it puts a little something down in you, or maybe for me. Here's the thing, membership. Members of churches, you have to realize that your pastor and wife and their kids are human, and they battle the same insecurities, fears, problems that everybody else deal with. And we are held to a higher standard. Help us all. Help me. And we battle the same thing. Here's what I'm learning. Get a hold of your fear and your insecurity, pastors, wives. Pray. The Bible says, Psalm 61, when my heart is overwhelmed, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David said, hear me, listen to me, attend to my prayer, incline your ear to me. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me. It didn't say when my heart is overwhelmed, I'm going to run. It says lead me. So that's what I'm learning. So number one, family is important. Number two, sometimes we are afraid that we are going to mess it up, but we can pray and ask God. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Here's another thing. We also grow old. But come on now, we're going to grow old. And we're going to have the life changes. We're going to have life changes. Hot and cold flashes. Life changes, bereavement, death, financial issues, all of these things. Here's the thing. We are not superwoman with special powers. We need prayer. We need words of encouragement. And we need just a little more Jesus. Oh, my Lord. We need just a little more Jesus, mercy, and grace. Can I say that? Yes. So, number one, family time. Make that a priority. Number two, almost every pastor's wife has some struggles with some type of fear. Number three, being a pastor, now this is what the article said, being a pastor's wife is the loneliest thing I've ever done, and for so many reasons. Now I put my little part under the bottom, says being a pastor's wife can be lonely for so many reasons. And it can be the loneliest. And you can be alone, but the feeling of loneliness is another thing. That you are always, I don't know if I should say always, but most of the time you will not be included. And it's cool with that. You have to be cool with that. You have to be fine with that, that you will not be included. It is okay that you are not invited to the baby shower, to the bridal shower, to the barbecue, to the pool party, to whatever they're having. You have to be okay with the fact, especially if you are part of a small church or a growing church. You have to be okay with the fact that you're not invited. Got to be okay with that. And don't be surprised because you do feel lonely. Jesus felt lonely. Please don't be surprised about the feeling of loneliness, but don't let it overwhelm you. I'm telling you, read Psalm 61. Those first two verses will help you. So we must pray. This is under the heading of loneliness. We must pray and seek God for friendships that are safe. See, I can talk about that for a whole nother 30 minutes and a half, another hour and a half. Pray and seek God for friendships that are safe. And can I say this? And don't allow the enemy to make you needy because you need friends. And break every ungodly tie, because everybody does not mean you good. And they don't. Everybody does not have your well-being in mind. They may sound like it, it may look like it, it may even smell like it, but they do not have your well-being in mind. And let me say another thing: be careful of people that always want to bring you gifts. Just want to say that, and that's not everybody, but be careful. Because some folks have an ulterior motive. Because, see, I've been in this 30-something years. Help me, Jesus. And I have learned some things. And I've learned that everybody does not wish me well. And with the little that I have, which is much to me, people get jealous. They talk, they do a whole lot of things, and even to the point that they will not even treat your children right. That's why your family has to be a priority. So make sure that you have friendships that are safe. We are looked at or treated differently, and sometimes the desire to be invited for an occasional ladies' night out does not happen. And some of these places you can't go or should not go. You know, just can't go. We like to be invited out so people can get to know us. Jesus was invited out, but Jesus didn't go to everybody's house. Don't assume we are invited to every function or that we are popular. This person said, I notice in my own life that when things go on in my city, I rarely get a personal invitation. So are we afraid of befriending people in ministry? No, I'm not. I'm just careful. And you need to be careful. You really do. I'm telling you, I could talk about this particular one for a long time. You need to be careful. Here's another thing, too. Show yourself friendly on Sunday mornings. Try to extend a handshake or a hug to the members. Show yourself friendly. And show yourself friendly. And please don't say, well, I'm not angry. I'm really not. I'm just sharing with you some tidbits that will help you, especially as women, because we can be very sensitive. We can, and that's how we're made. I think that's how we're made. And we can be very sensitive. So number one, your family, your husband, your children, what have you, is a priority. Number two, don't be afraid of messing up. Can I say that? Number two, don't be afraid of messing up, because we're human and we're going to mess up. Number three, being a pastor's wife can be lonely for so many reasons. Number four, it is okay to have conversations with your pastor's wife that don't pertain to church or even Jesus. It's going to end up with me talking about Jesus, I'm just saying. But it's okay to talk about other things, like, you know, a movie, a show that you went to, a movie, the dress, and if you got kids, I know you're going to talk about your kids, or your grandkids, you're going to talk about your grandchildren. It's okay to talk about other things. You know, here's the thing, just keep it godly, because we have other interests. We really do. So we have a variety of interests, believe it or not. Some of us have gone to college. Some of us have full-time jobs, careers, have hobbies, have likes, have dislikes. Even though we serve with our husbands, we have our own personal ministries. We are individuals with our own unique gifts. We are our own individuals with our own unique gifts. Do not make the mistake of assuming we have the same personality as our husband. We don't. I have my own personality. I used to get so upset. Now I just laugh at it and move on. I used to get so upset. People would shake pastor's hand, just look over me. Plus, I'm short, so, you know, I got the issue with I'm short. You know, they reach over me, shake pastor's hand, and then, you know, I'm like a second thought. Ooh, hi. Come on, especially some women. You know, they run up on pastor and you don't want to shake his hand and, you know, like you're not there. Wow. See, that's what I'm saying. You have to be secure. Listen, you have to be secure in your own body. You have to like yourself. Love yourself. Love Jesus. Love yourself. Love Jesus. Love yourself. So I have my own personality. We are individuals. We are individuals. We are individuals. I do not have, now some of the things that my husband does, I have found myself doing and saying, but I really do have my own person. I mean, we've been together 42 years, so some of that stuff I'm going to say, some of the things he says, I say, but I have my own personality, and I am my own person. I am, you know, the individual that God made me. Come on now. So, members, remember that. Pastors' wives are individual. Even though the two became one, one flesh and one ministry, she has a heart and a mind and thoughts and dreams and visions. And come on, husbands. Come on, husbands. Thoughts, dreams, and visions. All right. Oh, here's one, number five. I think that's probably all I'm going to get to today. I don't know if I'm going to get to the rest of it. Number five, sometimes Sunday is my least favorite day. This is in the article. Wait, am I allowed to say that? Ooh, here's it. Sometimes, whoa, you know, that 4 o'clock hour. That's when the sleep is good. You just want to pull a cup over your head just like the members. Oh, my goodness. You want to watch the football game. Come on, pastors. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. You want to watch the football game like the members. All right. You want to go to the show like the members. You want to sleep late like they do. Come in church late, running in late. All right. I had a moment right there. Woo! Here's mine. I said, I did not always like Sundays. Sometimes it was my least favorite day. However, because of what God has done for me, I do look forward to Sundays. I do. I do look forward to Sundays. I do. I used to, my goodness, Sunday, I do. Especially when you grew up in church and you was in church every Sunday. You know, you just want to take a Sunday off. And the amazing thing about that is, you know, people, oh, well, help me, Holy Ghost. You know, people take Sunday off, they go on vacation, and they just kind of forget about, you know, their local church, their pastor. And I'm not talking about gifts or anything. I'm talking about tithes, offerings, everything. They just go on vacation and just forget. One of the things that I respect about the pastors that I know and my pastor, because I want them, you know, especially my pastor, we'll go on vacation, and sometimes, you know, I'm saying Sunday I want to sleep late, but I kind of go with him. We look to worship, even if it's just for an hour. We look for a place to worship, because if we are not, or, you know, turn on praise and worship music, have prayer, whatever. We do that even when we're on vacation. We do. Now, I'm not saying that's for everybody. I'm just saying that's what we do. And we leave our tithes and our offerings. Just saying. All right. So here's what the article says. Sundays can be hard and long, and there is no rest. And when your children are young, Sundays meant getting up early, rushing around, trying to get your family ready for church. So let me tell you all, members, pastors, pastors' wives, what you got to do is get your clothes ready Saturday. Get things together the night before. So I put down here, I used to do Sunday mornings. I'm going to go back to purposeful worship on Sunday mornings. But what I had to do, because I do that, I had to make sure that my things were together the day before. So on the weekends, I do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And some Saturdays it was women's Bible, women's fellowship. So, you know, all these things I had to do. And then Sunday I would have to preach. So I had to make sure everything was together. That's another thing. If you do things, help me, Lord, because I'm telling you now, y'all pray for me. If we can just set our priorities and do, like if you have a lot of children, well, I had two, and then I would have other kids that they want to spend the night. So, you know, if you have all that, then everybody has to get their things together the night before. So even though you see me looking like I have it together on Sunday, rest assured, Sunday is tiring. But for me, God has made it enjoyable. That's what I put. That's my little comment. Sundays are tiring, especially if you belong to a Pentecostal church. A Pentecostal church. Pastors wise, when you pray for folks, lay hands, and then they want to talk to you afterwards and all of that, you go home and, you know, hubby wants something to eat, you want something to eat, and you don't even want to look at the kitchen. You just want some Kentucky fries, some Popeyes or something. And then when you get through, you go to sleep, and 9 times out of 10, the phone rings right after that asking something about service. It is. So, let me do number one. Your family is important. Family time is important. Number two, we wish that they realize that we are afraid of screwing it all up. Number three, being a pastor's wife is the loneliest thing I've ever done. And for so many reasons. Number four, it is okay and it is welcomed most of the times to talk about other things that do not pertain to church or even Jesus. It is okay to have conversations that pertain to me as a person and not just church. But like I said, it ends up with me talking about Jesus. Number five, Sundays are sometimes my least favorite day. Or as I said, it used to be. But God has helped me. Time for one more. Number six, it's hard to not harbor resentment or to allow your flesh to lash out at members who openly criticize your husband's ministry. Or just openly criticize the ministry, period. Should we harbor resentment? They hate church criticism more than anything. It's hurtful, it's offensive, and yes, it's very hard not to take it personally because, you know, that's your baby. That's the vision your husband has or you all have together. It's one of the most damaging things they witness regularly inside the church, whether it be through emails, social media, text message, or gossip. And can I say this? Any pastor that has the spirit of discernment and the spirit of God working in him or her, we know what's going on. That's the most amazing thing. We know what's going on. And the Lord always confirms. I told Pastor yesterday, I am always, I never want to get tired of the move. Oh, my goodness, I felt the Holy Ghost right there. I never want to get tired of the move of God in my life. I never want to get that common, hallelujah. I never want to get that common with God. That it, when he moves in my life, I go, well, yeah, that's just God. Oh, no, the devil is a liar. I always get confirmation of the things that God has told me personally, or told my husband, always get confirmation. Always. If they're talking, if things are going on behind the scenes, we always know. One time early in our ministry, I don't even think we were praying. We were just laying down, talking. And all of a sudden we began to hear like whispering in the spirit, no joke, just whispering. And I thought I was, you know, going crazy, and I was scared to ask Pastor, did he? And then all of a sudden he said, did you hear that? And I said, yeah, I heard it. And then the Lord gave him that, you know, people were talking about the ministry. So, you know, it's not that the pastor doesn't know or the pastor's wife doesn't know, and we can know. But here's what I want to encourage membership. You need to read about David and Saul. Saul, just read that the other day. Jealousy. Saul became jealous of David. And when he killed Goliath and he came back and they said, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul immediately became jealous. Plus the spirit of the Lord left him and sent him the Lord sent a demon to torment him. He immediately became jealous. David stayed in the midst of almost being killed several times. David didn't get an attitude. David didn't talk behind Saul's back. None of that. You need to read the story of David and Saul. David stayed there until he couldn't stay anymore. And then even in the midst of him running for his life and hiding in caves and all of the things that David had to do, he never said anything derogatory about King Saul. Never. I just want to encourage you, members, never said anything derogatory about Saul. Never. Never. The other story is Miriam, when she grumbled against Moses. You got to read the book. And the Lord struck her with leprosy. And for 7 days she had to live outside the camp with leprosy, which means the church couldn't move because she couldn't move because they had to wait till the Lord do something for her. Come on now. God said, who are you to talk against the man of God? You better read your book. Got to read your book. So it we do take it personally. And for any pastor, I don't know, if you don't take it personally, God bless your heart. But I think we take it personally because this is the dream, the vision, the goal that God has placed in us. Even my personal ministry, when people talk against it, I take it personally. I take it personally. So we wish people understood how serious God's work speaks on the danger and power of our words and how much it injures the pastor's family, because our kids hear it. My children are still injured today. Y'all pray for them, because, and they're in their 40s because of stuff that happened in church. And you can say, well, they need to get over it, and you're right. They really do. They need to get over it. To let you know how things affect. We minister to people all the time that says how they've been hurt in church. Well, that goes for pastors. We personally know pastors that have left the ministry and don't want to preach no more because of what happened at their church. So, you know, pray for us and be careful what you say against your pastor and his ministry, and especially to think to be so disrespectful that you would say it in front of the pastor's wife, say it to her face, to be that disrespectful and to think that the Lord is going to bless you. Come on now. Really, really. There are a lot of things we need to, as the body of Christ, the only word I can think is fix. And the only way you can fix it is you need to repent. Go back to your pastor. Go back to his wife. Go back to his family. Even if you have to do it in front of the whole church, and repent for your lack of respect, for your disrespect to your pastor. All right, so number one, it'll be helpful to you and helpful for them. Number one, your family is important. Number two, please don't be afraid of messing it up. Number three, being a pastor's wife is the loneliest thing some of us have ever done. Number four, it's okay to have conversations with us as people, even the pastor as people. And number five, maybe Sundays is not your favorite day. Ask the Lord to help you. Sunday may be your least favorite day. And number six, it's hard not to harbor resentment or to allow your flesh to lash out at members who openly criticize the ministry. Hear, pastor. Hear me, pastor. Hear me, pastor wife. Hear me, husband of a pastor. Hear me, family, PKs. Let it go. Forgive, and God will forgive you. I'm telling you, the one thing somebody said, well, you know, you need to be, something had to do with the members, you know, praying for them. And, you know, listen, I go to church for me because I love God. That's what I told them. I said, I go to church because I love God. Has nothing to do with the members. I go because I love him. If I was not a pastor's wife and Lord saved me, I'd still be in church. Because I love him. Hey, God, hallelujah. And he's done so much for me. Ha, bless his name. I have to be in the house of the Lord because he's done so much for me. See, here's my rabbit trail. How can you say you love God and you don't ever want to be in the house of God? You don't love him like you say you love him. And I almost dare to say you didn't get it right. Like they used to tell us, you didn't get it right. You got a touch, and something happened, and that, there you have it. And we all was excited because you got a touch and thought you were saved. But if you really saved and you really love the Lord, hallelujah to God, you want to be in his presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You want to be in his presence. So to every person that's in leadership, we must press on to be in the presence of God. I just got to give a shout out to one of the most favorite people. I don't know if I'm saying that right. In my life is the Veronica Richardson. And if you're listening, I love you. She taught me. How to press on. She didn't say a whole lot. I just saw how she lived. She taught me the importance of fellowship. All of that taught me the importance of being my own person and still love God. Come on now. I got to let you go. I told y'all. I got to let you go. Oh, my goodness. I got to let you go. So, find someone that you can talk to. Find someone that you'll be able to be yourself with without any repercussions. And pray and ask the Lord to do that. The Bible tells us to confess our faults one to another, pray for one another that we may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. Amen. Amen. I love you with the love of Jesus. Thank you so much for listening today. I pray that I said something that will help you, that has helped you. All right, so join me tomorrow, same time, at 8 a.m., Lord willing, Purpose for Godliness, Saturday morning, praise and glory. Love you with the love of Jesus, and I want you to know that you are Purpose for Godliness. Have a fabulous Friday.
You. But don't worry.
Don't worry, your soul, it will get better.
It's got to get
better. In your heart,
hold it close,
hold it close.
Don't don't ever.
Don't ever.